Mr. Ashley Reel for?
What was the messing conditions aboard the first ship you were on, which would be the old training ship Impregnable?
Well, they were very ghastly, as I remember. I think for breakfast all we had was porridge, except Sunday morning we had an egg. But apart from that, we had nothing.
Yeah. Where was your mess located on Impregnable, and what sort of size was it?
Well, I think they had about 20 boys to the mess, if I remember rightly. About 20 of us to the mess.
And how were the messes arranged aboard ship?
Well, all next to each other, all along the side, you know. You see, in the training ship, you never had a choice of menu like you did when you run your own mess and board a ship. You run your own mess and you just decide what you're going to have, you see.
Yeah. As regards the mess aboard Impregnable, what did it look like? What was the sort of scale of it, and what sort of furniture and equipment?
Well, it was just a plain table. You had no cups or saucers. Everything you had drunk out of a basin, and plates for your other stuff. And just the ordinary knife, fork and spoon. Nothing elaborate, no tablecloths, or just a plain white table.
What was the furniture in the mess?
Well, stools. You sat on stools all along.
And where did you eat?
At this table.
Oh, you had a bed. You had a table.
Then above that table, you slung your hammock in the evening, you know, to turn in.
How much room did you have for your hammocks?
Well, enough. I mean, enough to get in and not knock the bloke next to you, you know. I forget the space available or allocated for each hammock, but it was quite sufficient.
What was the ventilation and heating like on Impregnable?
Well, if I remember, the heating was all right. And the ventilation. Well, we had plenty of ventilation because they lived on fresh air in the Navy, believe me, when I joined.
And the washing and toilet facilities.
Oh, yeah, they had a big... there was a big washroom where everybody used to go and have a bath all at the same time, you know. No separate baths.
Yeah. Describe the washroom to me. What it consisted of? What was in it?
Well, it's just basins all the way around, and then in the middle was all these baths where you're going to have a bath. No showers or anything like that in those days.
So you had proper baths?
Yeah.
You could have a bath, okay, yeah. And the toilet facilities, they were all right, were they?
Oh, yeah, they were.
Yeah. Fine. Now, let's transfer our attentions to Iron Duke. And tell me what the messing accommodation was.
Well, the messing accommodation was similar to... although, in the Iron Duke, you had a... what you called them... The messman, and he decided what food you wanted, you see. And they used to tell the cook to what we want, what is called a straight rush or beef or lamb or whatever's on the go.
Mm-hmm.
You had to decide.
Yeah.
Then at the end of the month, you paid your mess bill, you know.
But the messes themselves, what size were they?
Well, they were about 20 to the mess. Same as the... But you had a leading signalman or a leading seaman, or a leading stoker in charge of each mess, and he was responsible for the mess being kept clean and everything being cleaned up after a meal.
Did these things like the size of the mess, the furniture of the mess, the heating and ventilating and the washing and toilet facilities... Was there much difference between the Impregnable, the Iron Duke, and the Queen Elizabeth?
No, not a lot of difference, no. The basic principle was the same.
Yeah.
Might have been a bit smaller and more of them.
Yes, I see. Now, the thing which intrigues me is what the messing conditions were like aboard submarines.
Oh, well, we didn't have any, you see, because you can't take any fresh food with you. We lived on all tin stuff.
Yeah.
And Lazenby supplied the lot. We had tinned sausages, tinned bacon, tinned soup, and bottles of fruit. We did try taking a side of beef with us once, but after 24 hours at sea, it all went green. We had to throw it over. Then we tried taking eggs. We bought a lot of hard-boiled eggs, and when we opened them, they were green.
How was the sleeping accommodation arranged on the subs?
Well, you didn't. You had none. You slept in your clothes by your diving station. The only one that had a bunk was the captain.
So you would what? You'd actually be lying out on the deck?
Yeah. You didn't take your clothes off.
And did you have blankets and pillows and things like
that? No, no. You had a blanket, but you never had a pillow. You had to make your own pillow. But you weren't allowed to shave. You couldn't carry the water.
Yeah. How were the toilet arrangements organised?
Well, in the sea boats, now this is a bit grim. In the sea boats, you had a bucket of oil. You used to do it in that, and every time I went to the surface, you used to pull the bucket up and empty it over the side, then fill it up with oil again for the next lot. But in the D boats, we had an air lavatory there. You used to push it out by air, you know. We used to, bloke in the lavatory, used to see some air on the lavatory, and they say, well, who's in there? And if you put too much air back, you used to throw it back at his face.
And what about the H boats?
Well, the H boats were similar.
Yeah. These would be private partition cubicles where you could do
business. Oh, yes, yeah. But yeah, in the sea boats it wasn't. You just sit there where the bucket was put in the, just underneath the conning tower, you know.
What about washing? How did you arrange that?
Well, you weren't allowed to wash. You couldn't wash.
What was the longest you would be at sea without a wash?
14 days.
So for 14 days you would neither shave nor wash? What sort of condition did you
have? Well, you went to hospital straight away. All your uniform went through the fumigator, you see, and you had a blood test.
Yeah.
You couldn't carry the water because we had nothing for making water, sea water, into fresh like they have today. And all the water we wanted for making tea and drinking.
Aboard the subs, was there any scope, were there any places where the men could sort of congregate and have a game of cards
We had a mess where we had our food. You used to put the food on. We used to play cards there.
Where was the mess and what did it consist of?
Well, just a table and four stools.
Yeah, what part of the sub was that?
Well, normally it was by the periscope because the engines took up one lot of room and the batteries took up another lot.
Yeah.
That was the only spare space that was around by the conning tower, where the periscope.
What were the conditions of heating and ventilation on the subs?
Well, no, none. You had no heating.
Well, describe for me what the sort of atmosphere would be like.
Well, it was terrible, you see. I mean, you couldn't have any fresh air for a start. You was breathing out the same air all the time. And when you came to the surface, you had earplugs to put in your ear. As you didn't, would split the eardrum, because when the foul air met the fresh air coming, foul air going out met the fresh air coming in, once you opened the conning tower hatch, there was an explosion, you see. And it would bust your eardrum if you put these on.
You must have all been smelling a bit after.
Oh, yeah. Well, because we got a hospital and had this blood test and put over your clothes with a fumigator.
Yeah. Casting your mind back on all of the various ships and submarines you served on, did the fact that you had to live in fairly close-quartered environments ever create any discomforts or any problems?
No, actually, it made people more pally with each other. I mean, even the officers, you know, was very good to you.
There was never any feeling that, Christ, there's not enough room to sling a hammock here.
No.
Mm-hmm.
No, the submarine service, I mean, the officers and men were very close together. Well, my own experience, I mean, I was with the same captain all the time. He wouldn't have anyone else.
What about the bigger ships? Were the messes comfortable enough?
They were very comfortable, yes, considering the war conditions.
Was lack of privacy ever a problem? The fact that you couldn't get away from people?
Well, that was the trouble. I mean, from writing letters, you had to write letters with one end of the mess table, perhaps somebody else reading or playing cards the other end, you know.
Mm-hmm. At those times of... I'm talking about the big ships now. At those times when you weren't on any duties, but those periods of sort of relaxation when you were not on watch and you had no specific work today, what were the most common activities as regards relaxation and recreation aboard ship?
Well, mostly playing cards or playing housey-housey. That was the two popular things in the Navy,
yeah.
Sea especially. Because when you're in harbour, half the people are ashore.
Was the pattern much the same on all the ships?
Yes.
Okay. What about things... what sort of card games did you play?
Well, mostly pontoon. That was the... pontoon or nap, that was the favourite game of the Navy.
You play it for money?
Oh, yes. Oh, I don't play for fun. And, of course, there was the odd crown and anchor aboard.
How much gambling took place aboard ship?
Oh, quite a lot. Well, that's all they had to do. There was no other outlet to spend your money.
But gambling was, strictly speaking, illegal.
Oh, yes, illegal.
How would you make sure you weren't caught?
Well, if you switch it off, I'll tell this story about myself.
Tell me the story with it. Tell me the story with it on.
Well, I ran the clam and anchor board when I was in the submarine service. And I had to pay a bloke £5 a night to keep watch for case the master at arms or one of the police or naval police came down, you see.
This was on the submarine?
Yeah, on the submarine depot ship.
What was the name of the submarine depot ship?
Dolphin. Fourth. Fourth and the Dolphin, that was the two.
What kind of ships were they?
Well, the Dolphin was a shore establishment. We had our messes, but the Fourth was a ship. Old-fashioned ship.
Yeah. How did you play Crown and Anchor?
Well, we had this board with the dice. And used to change the dice every so often, loaded dice, you know, if you were losing too much.
You ran a bit of a fixed school.
Oh, there. Yes, yeah. All a fiddle.
Would very much money change hands during these?
Quite a lot, especially on paydays. You were paid once a fortnight.
Yeah.
Oh, I paid out as much as £30 one night to one bloke. Well, that's a lot of money in those days.
In your experience, did gambling at any time during your experience cause any special problems for people spending more than they could afford?
Oh, yes, quite a lot.
Can you give me any examples of that?
Well, yes, I can. One bloke particularly, I said to him, I said, well, you're not going to play on my board because you haven't got the money to play with. He said, I'll borrow somewhere. I said, well, you're not going to play on with borrowed money.
Yeah, I see. You're sort of suggesting that all the Crown and Anchor games were a bit crooked.
They were crooked, yeah.
Were there never straight games?
Well, I suppose there were straight games, but...
Well, how could you make the game... How could you fix the game?
Well, because you had dice loaded, you see. You knew what the loaded dice was coming. You had to change your dice quickly without anyone seeing them. I mean, if you were playing with a set of dice and the hearts kept coming up, you know that dice was loaded for hearts. And they spotted it, they'd keep on backing the hearts, you see. So you had to switch them over and then they'd keep backing the heart and the heart would never come up because the other dice would be loaded to come up for a diamond or a club.
So you'd have several sets of
dice. Oh, yeah. Mm.
And you'd switch them to...
Yeah.
How would you load them?
Loaded by weight.
Yeah.
They're made that way. You don't really... You buy them that way, you know. Have them made that way.
If, in your experience, all the games were a bit bent, it surprises me that... That you ever got people to play?
Well, you got them to play because they were hoping they'd find the bent ones, the loaded ones, you know.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever come across any problems of homosexuality in the mess day?
Not in the submarines, but in the big ships, yes, quite a lot. Quite a lot. Practically every week there was someone being court-martialed for that.
Was there now?
Mm.
Do you remember any particular occasions?
Well, I remember two or three, but I can't remember the names of them. Because they used to say the carpenter's shop in the Orange, it was a proper ore shop, they used to call it, you know, the only blokes used to go there that went in for these sort of things.
Yeah. Do you think it was because people in the that you got a lot of people who are that way inclined, or because it was the fact that you had to spend long times at sea?
I think it's the fact you had to spend a long time at sea.
And there are no women around. Yeah. You said you remembered a few particular occasions.
Well, I remember going to the court martials. I mean, of these usually the elderly blokes in the navy, you know, blokes with two or three badges and.
Tell me about the court-martials you attended. What was the charge? What happened exactly?
Well, they were charged with this homosexuality, and you see, and the sentence was that you got drummed out of the service then, in those days.
I see. Fine. I'd like to talk to you about the subject of food, sort of ship by ship. Now, on Impregnable, where you first started your service as a boy, what did the official rations there consist of?
Well, so much meat and so much. We had no choice, so you had to take what they gave us as a boy. You had no choice, like you didn't mess with some chips.
And what was the sort of food that you got for each meal?
Well, I can remember breakfast was this porridge and a bit of marmalade. And dinner was sort of just potatoes and